this is Sassy Strawberry reading Thousand Autumns, 千秋, by Meng Si Shi, Chapter 109, translated by myself and edited by Yuki Ryu and Happy Bess. After realizing that Yan Wushi had deceived him by pretending to vomit blood, Xian Qiao did not speak a single word to him throughout their entire journey to Sui Guo Gong's residence in Chang'an. In his heart, this man already had a sign emblazoned with the words cunning and treacherous hanging around his neck, and his heart had more eyes than a honeycomb. Xian Qiao was aware that even if he tried everything in his arsenal, he would still not be able to get the upper hand over Yan Wushi. In this case, silence is golden. Hence he did not utter a single word. No matter what Yan Wushi said, Shen Qiao would only reply with monosyllabic "n" or "oh." This way, Yan Wushi shouldn't be able to find any loopholes to exploit. Yan Wushi was also aware that he had gone too far. He had forced Shen Qiao to reveal his concern in a moment of anxiety. However, everyone still wants to maintain their mianzi. No matter how good-tempered a person Shen Qiao is, if one were to peel off his face using force, it would only be more surprising if he wasn't angry. Chang'an is as it has always been, with its high city walls and majestic grandeur. The magnificent and varied scenes all combined into one vista, it was truly worthy of being the imperial capital. Even its awe-inspiring and powerful aura of prestige was something Shen Qiao had never experienced before. Not even in the Southern Dynasty's capital, Jiankang. Jiankang-cheng had long been the capital city of several dynasties and had been built at the time of Sun Wu of the Three Kingdoms era. The palace walls have three outer layers and three inner layers, the Qinhuai River to the south and the Houhu Lake to the north. When Yan Wushi had been entrusted by Yu Wenyong with the task to escort envoys representing the Zhou dynasty, Shen Qiao had stayed in Jiankang for a time. In comparison to Chang'an, Jiankang was much more luxuriant and gorgeous, splendidly graceful and charming, but it lacked a sense of gravity and austerity. It is said that one chooses a capital based on whether or not it possesses the imperial aura. If it does, it could then be the birthplace of a dynasty since it is where the dragon's veins are found. Although this statement brought with it an air of those mystical charlatans, there is still some basis to it. Taoists do not cultivate yin-yang techniques, but it was inevitable that some would begin to dabble in it. Shen Qiao had some skills in the observation and interpretation of qi. Thus, when he observed Yu Wenyong's qi and complexion that day, he felt that Yu Wenyong did not have long to live. Now, as he compared Jiankang with Chang'an, he also felt that the former's imperial qi was slightly inferior to that of Chang'an. And yet, this slight discrepancy can make all the difference in determining the fate of a dynasty. However, such talk of gods and ghosts should be restricted to one's own thoughts. Even if the emperor shares his belief, few emperors would relocate their capital city on this basis alone. In the end, the prosperity of a dynasty is a combination of having the right timing and opportunity, favorable terrain and geographical advantages, and the harmony of the people. All of these were both inseparable and indispensable. The Zhou dynasty had already lost Yu Wenyong. What did it matter if someone else occupied the right place at the right time? They are merely the yellow flowers of tomorrow, meaningless and obsolete.
Why does A Qiao look so solemn?
Yan Wushi's voice rang up annoyingly from beside him, ruining his thoughtscape. Shen Qiao didn't want to bother with him and acted as if he didn't hear anything. Yan Wushi had knocked into an iron nail. Even then, he smiled as his eyes crinkled. He was not in the least bit unhappy. He followed Shen Qiao as they entered the city together.
the time when Shen Qiao protected Yu Wen Song while killing his way out of a heavy siege had left a very deep impression on the people. Even now, both his appearance and clothing were the same as they were before. He was still garbed in his Qing Yi Taoist robes, and he had a long sword on his back. His appearance was exceptional and stood out from the crowd, such that the city guards could immediately recognize him. They watched helplessly as he entered the city openly, with none having the courage to interrogate him nor impede him. Most people would admire those who were truly capable. Shen Qiao's actions on that day had been extremely dazzling to the eye. Even the low-ranking foot soldiers who had participated in the besiegement to see Shen Qiao and Yu Wen Song felt nothing but heartfelt respect and admiration for this Taoist who managed to escape whilst bringing with him an orphan of the Yu Wen family. Especially from amidst a city full of archers and countless martial arts experts. It was said that the emperor had flown off the handle when he had failed to exterminate his uncle's entire clan, now that his younger cousin had become the fish that escaped from the net. In secret, however, there was no one who didn't feel approval towards Shen Qiao for that marvelous and fierce battle. Stories of him had already begun circulating amongst the common folk, with many tales describing the events of the day. Ordinary civilians may not know of the world's number one expert Qi Feng Ge, but they would have definitely heard of Shen Daozhang, a supremely honorable and righteous Taoist with outstanding martial arts. But Chang'an is not just another place, after all. Ever since they had entered the city, they had been observed by numerous eyes and ears. Yan Wuxi was unconcerned by this, and thus did not alert Shen Qiao to it. He merely brought him directly to the Shaoshi residence in the city. Although the Huanyuezong had lost some of its power and influence, it wasn't as if Yan Wuxi had become a wanted criminal of the imperial court. Shen Qiao escaped the city alongside Yu Wen Song, but Yu Wen Yun had eventually decided that a lone 7 or 8 year old Yu Wen Song wouldn't be able to stir up any sort of waves. In any case, Yu Wen Yun spent all day indulging in various pleasures and didn't have the time to bother with any other matters. Never mind the fact that he felt too lazy to pursue it further. Therefore, while the entry of these two people into the city attracted attention from all parties, no one came to apprehend them. Firstly, there was no legitimate reason to take action against them. And secondly, even if they wanted to apprehend them, they didn't have the ability to do so. Ever since the new emperor had ascended the throne, the Shaoshi residence had been closed and sealed up. The main door was locked, with paper seals plastered across it. Yan Wuxi used both hands to lightly tug at the door, ignoring the paper seals across it. The heavy and large chains broke with a loud noise as he pushed the door open and went inside. Upon witnessing the other's complete and blatant disregard of the imperial ban on the residence, the corners of Shen Qiao's mouth twitched as he walked behind him. Since he has already made up his mind to support Pu Liu Ru Jian, does it mean that it is no longer necessary to avert suspicion, even in broad daylight? Shen Qiao thought of asking further and opened his mouth, but then decided against it at the last moment. Yan Wuxi didn't look back, but as if he had eyes at the back of his head, he took the initiative to speak. During the sword trial conference, He Huanzong had attempted to cause trouble for Chunyang Guan. Sang Jingxing and Yun Xiuxiu both sustained injuries during the melee. Hence, neither of them would be able to rush here so quickly. All that's left here are a few minions, none of whom are worth mentioning. If we are to speak of people whom I would consider of noteworthy concern, then Chang'an only has Xue Ting. That old bald donkey is overly reliant on the orthodoxy of Buddhism and is too concerned with his mianzi. He wouldn't be able to commit any underhanded acts of espionage. As for Yu Wenyun, I instructed him for some time after he was made taizi. Deep down, he's all too aware that he can't afford to offend me, and his mind is also preoccupied with debauchery. Unless he's completely assured of the outcome, he will not make any rash moves. Even if someone were to accuse me in his presence, he will only turn a blind eye and pretend that he didn't see anything.
Shen Xiao frowned slightly. It appears that Yuan Yun is not entirely as incompetent as he seems. After his ascension to the throne, he had murdered his uncles and their families. Such actions were extremely chilling and bitterly disappointing.
It was as if Yan Wuxi had read his mind yet again, and he said,
Yu Wenyun greatly values the Buddhist faction, yet he chose to also bring He Huanzong into the picture. It is evident that he does not want the Buddhist faction to be the sole dominant force. He does have some skill in controlling his subjects, since he was able to disperse the power and influence of various parties by dividing them. He also possesses some ability, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to maintain his act before Yu Wenyong for so many years without being removed from his position. But this is the limit of his skills. Had Yu Wenyong been willing to heed my advice and make Yu Wenxian his heir, the Zhou dynasty would have had at least 3 more generations of stability and peace.
Shen Xiao had not expected for Yan Wuxi to have made such a suggestion to Yu Wenyong. It was no wonder that Yu Wenyun had immediately launched an attack on Huan Yuezong after ascending to the throne. He must have harbored an intense hatred for Yan Wuxi. It was a shame that this emperor did not make use of his intellect to carry out his official duties, and instead wasted it on useless and improper matters. At present, there were the Tujue in the north and the Southern Dynasty in the south. Even the north had been conquered with the previous emperor's efforts. As long as one is a normal emperor, even if one does not want to unite the world under one banner, he wouldn't do something unexpected like abdicating the throne in favor of his son and taking the title of Taishang Huang for himself. Even when Shen Xiao was in Xining town, he had heard tales of the emperor carrying out large-scale construction of the imperial gardens and engaging in excessive and improper behavior with his concubines and palace maids in broad daylight. If Yu Wenyong in the underworld were to hear of how his son had defiled the empire on which he had spent decades of his heart's blood, that he had diligently built up by rising early and sleeping late, he would probably be enraged enough to rise up from the grave. Yan Wuxi continued speaking. Although Yu Wenxian was weak, he was truly skilled at running the army and leading his troops. Even if he could not inherit and carry on Yu Wenyong's legacy, at least he would not have squandered away the family's possessions. Unfortunately, Yu Wenyong was ultimately unable to rid himself of the shackles of the mundane and insisted on having his son inherit his throne. His vision was narrow and shallow-minded. After laboring his entire life, he ended up being killed by his own son, with all his life's efforts come to naught. He has truly sown the seeds of his own ruin. Yan Wuxi did not have any reverence for the previous emperor, casually passing judgment on him and criticizing him as easily as he opened his mouth. If it had been anyone else who heard this, they would have already long been frightened to death. On the other hand, Shen Xiao couldn't help but secretly roll his eyes as he thought, weren't you also besieged by those martial arts experts in Tuyuhun? You even got your skull cracked open and almost lost your life there and then. You say that Yu Wenyong is narrow-minded and superficial, so where was your wisdom and foresight at that time? Yan Wuxi didn't look back and joked, Ah, Qiao, I didn't expect that you, a respectable gentleman, would actually learn not to openly speak your mind and instead criticize and slander someone behind their back. This is certainly not good. Shen Xiao was aware that Yan Wuxi was trying to tease him and goad him into speaking, so he kept his mouth shut as tightly as a clam. While speaking, the two people had already passed through the atrium and had arrived at the backyard. Shen Xiao didn't understand Yin Wushu's reason for bringing him along. Upon looking at the plants and furnishings around them, it was clear that they were neither in disarray nor neglected due to the owner's absence. Rather, everything was orderly and well cared for. It was clear that there was someone taking care of the household on a regular basis. Yet the thick iron chains and paper seals across the doors had been untouched, which was rather intriguing. Yan Wuxi pushed open one of the building doors, but the room inside was not deserted, and there were already a few people seated within. Upon their arrival, the people inside all got up to meet them. The man in the center walked a few steps forward while arching his hands in greeting.
"I have heard rumors that Yan Zongzhu had lately experienced numerous unforeseen missteps. Unfortunately, I am not of the Jianghu, and thus was unable to offer any assistance. It is fortunate that you are safe and sound, and I can put my worries to rest."
He then greeted Shen Qiao.
"Shen Daozhang's soaring spirit on that day was truly unforgettable, especially since the Chang'an common folk are still talking about what happened with great enthusiasm. Seeing you at this time, your demeanor has only become even more graceful than before."
This person is a familiar face, one Shen Xiao would naturally recognize. Not to mention, Yan Wuxi had already brought him up in advance, which allowed him to be mentally prepared. At this moment, he arched his hand and smiled, saying, "Sui Guo Gong is too polite. I heard that when I left the capital with Ti Lang, it was mostly due to Sui Guo Gong's covert assistance that we were able to safely extricate ourselves from danger. Pin Dao has yet to thank Sui Guo Gong for this kindness." Pu Liu Ru Jian laughed heartily. "It was nothing. It was as effortless as lifting my hand. There's no need to take it to heart."
He introduced Shen Xiao to the person accompanying him.
"This is Zheng Yi, a senior official of the Internal History Department."
There was another person who didn't require an introduction since he was also a familiar face. Yan Wuxi's eldest disciple, Bian Yan Mei. As soon as Yan Wuxi entered the room, he moved forward to salute him respectfully. Upon seeing Shen Qiao looking in his direction, he also smiled and arched his hands in greeting. In spite of Yan Wuxi's trademark arrogance, he was still able to temper his attitude and give Pu Liu Ru Jian a pleasant and kind look as he said,
"When I was traveling outside, I received Da Lang's letter, and he mentioned that you've run into some troublesome matters here."
Everyone took their respective seats. Pu Liu Ru Jian smiled bitterly as he replied,
"Yes, there is indeed some trouble. I've contemplated on the matter to the best of my ability, and yet I am still unable to come up with a solution. So I'm left with no choice but to presumptuously bother Yan Zongzhu. Yu Wenyun may not be good at actually governing the country, but his imperial ability to concoct political schemes has reached the pinnacle of proficiency. Ever since he had gotten rid of several of his uncles in succession, he had shifted his attention to his ministers. The first to be targeted was his own father-in-law, Sui Guo Gong, Pu Liu Ru Jian. Pu Liu Ru Jian is not Yu Wenxin, and as such, he would not sit still and passively wait for his death. Perhaps he already had intentions to rebel. Upon encountering an emperor like Yu Wenyun, he couldn't possibly be willing to bow down to him and serve as his minister. While he cautiously put up a respectful front, in reality, he was already making various kinds of preparations on the sly. The first thing he did was to contact the military and attempt to take charge of the remnants of Yu Wenxian's forces. After Yu Wenxian's demise, those who were originally loyal to him had been subject to the emperor's suspicion and oppression, spending their days in a panic, living on tenterhooks. With this, it was unsurprising that they hurriedly accepted the olive branch that Pu Liu Ru Jian had extended to them. With Pu Liu Ru Jian's management and planning, many people in the court sided with him and formed the backbone of his organization. Zheng Yi was one of these. However, Yu Wenyun was not entirely unaware of this. Pu Liurujian's daughter was Yu Wenyun's empress. Since Yu Wenyun wasn't able to obtain any bargaining chips, nor was he able to deal with Pu Liurujian openly, his attitude towards the empress gradually worsened. He would wantonly abuse and coerce her at every turn, and even threatened her with death several times. It was only due to Pu Liurujian's wife, Du Guoshi, personally entering the palace to plead for clemency that she was able to keep her life. Pu Liurujian sighed and spoke, "A few days ago, it was the emperor's birthday. However, His Majesty did not have any intention to arrange any elaborate celebrations. He only bestowed on her some gifts and allowed my wife entrance to the palace to visit her. There was news that the empress missed her brothers, so my wife brought our eldest and second son to enter the palace to celebrate the empress's birthday. Who could have expected that after meeting the empress, my wife would be conveniently led away with an excuse? By the time she returned, she was told that the empress missed her brothers dearly and wished to have them stay for a meal. My wife requested a meeting with the empress, but to no avail. She even begged his majesty, but she was chased out of the palace. Since then, I have not seen neither the empress nor my sons. I've exhausted all my options, but his majesty is unwilling to let them go. At this time, I do not know if they are alive or dead." In other words, Pu Liurujian's daughter and two of his sons had been taken hostage by Yu Wenyun. Pu Liurujian has five sons. The eldest one, who was also the one brought into the palace, was only 9 years old. After speaking, his expression was panicked and worried. His earnest love for his sons was clearly evident in his words. "I have tried everything, even pleading with soft words, yet His Majesty is adamant about not letting them go. He insists that it was my sons who wanted to stay in the palace to accompany the empress. Xue Ting Chan Shi is holding the fort in the palace, and the martial arts experts present are as innumerable as clouds. If I use force, I cannot be certain my children will be unharmed. I did not expect Yu Wenyun to suddenly create trouble and resort to this kind of scheme. I have no other recourse but to beg Yin Zongzhu for help." The room was so quiet that one could even hear a pin drop. Yin Wuxi smiled slightly and spoke at a leisurely pace. "Let me say something that you may not want to hear. Sui Guogong has made all the necessary preparations, and all that is missing is a perfect opportunity. Even if you lose these two sons, you still have three more. The truth is, this would not be a hindrance to the overall situation. As long as you stand your ground and remain unshakable, Yu Wenyun cannot threaten you with this.